Hello, my name is Anton Beken. You are listening to Type Radio. Now we are talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. www.typeradio.org.
Okay, catch up where we were. You, in this magazine credits, you were portrayed as a photographer. I really like this picture, by the way. You seen this?
This one, no.
What would you yourself consider to be your specialty? Because you do so much different things, do you feel specialized in one certain field?
Well, I was very good in poster design, making an image. You have a lot of different kind of posters, but when you can define them in two things: image makers and typo. And of course, with the typo you can make images also, but real people who can make an image, there are not so many. The people who could do this kind of thing are most in time have been painters or come from the painting history. So I made images by photography, and I'm not a photographer at all, but I try to make my own pictures. The reason for that was in the beginning I did drawings. I draw, but I had a very complicated, slow technique for illustrations that take me too much time. So I decided to make pictures. And that was not so allowed in the cultural sector, because pictures was for advertising. And in culture you didn't use photography. But I use photography, and I was working with photographers. But I'm trying to be respectful to the photo, even when I had the idea how the photo has to be come out. Still, I had a respect for the photo. So it was difficult to put text in it. So on a certain moment, I think I do the picture by myself, and I'm free. I know exactly where I need. So I designed first the poster, the sketch, and then I was making pictures, and then I will fill it in. It was always different. It was always it was never the picture I had in mind. But that was the reason I start with this photography. And So I'm an image maker. I could make images. I can make a statement with an image. And length is complicated, because you have to be able to read it. You can't read the language. You see the typing. You don't know. But when you see an image, you can understand what's in your own mind. Not what I have in mind, but you see an image, and then your own mind goes over it, and you make your own fantasy, your own story about it. So there's also a lot of misunderstanding in this image posters. But when I said before, when the image is strong enough, then it hits your brain, and it stays there. I know a lot of people who come up to me and said, "Yeah, that poster. I don't know what it was about, but it was something with an eye, and it's still in my mind. And when I see a person with a covered eye on the street, I'm thinking on your poster. But I don't know what it was. I've never been to the theater, but I know you had stories like that, you know, that kind of story." And so you could say that I'm very good in it. Well, sort of good. Mm-hmm. For myself, very good, but for the world, sort of. And so I did many poses. I did, of course, also for the museum, because I tried. Sometimes you have an artist, and this painting has to be on, and then you play with the typography to make it a nice poster. There's a professional attitude, I think. You see. Also in the yearbooks, you see this kind of poster, but for me, these are not posters. Yeah. Of course, it's a poster, but this is work. It's professional attitude in typography and image and make something nice. Most of the museum posters are like that. I try to make also a sort of, to get the personality out of it. And when, for example, when there was an exhibition about a group, then you could fantasize, you have your fantasy or your, the knowledge what the group is doing, and then you can make a statement about this group. And when you have a director, because it is, you're never alone, you never walked alone. Now you have always in the director, and he had to say yes or no. Also with the theater, the director have to say yes or no. Without him, you're nobody. That's the problem with all the graphic designers. That they, or maybe it is also good, because when you have a good director, he makes you better. That's.
Did you ever have no's?
Excuse me?
Did you ever have a no from the director?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I made once for Geert-Jan Reinders. He was a very progressive director. I could do everything. And then I made a poster about a Greek play. I forgot what it was. It was a boy who have to be killed because the father is going to Troy.
Yeah.
Helena, and he go with the army to Troy to free Helena, and then the oracle said you have to kill your son because there was no wind.
Oh,
you know, there was no wind.
Yeah,
and then
that's
so this
thesis.
Boy, he knows that he have to be killed now, and then because then the wind,
Theseus.
And then he will be.
That's Theseus. Huh? That's Theseus.
Anyway. So I made a picture of a boy, a nice young boy, and he was full of shit. The shit was on his legs and on the ground, you know, because
he's scared.
I left my head because my father had to fuck a lady somewhere in the country. And that was it. And so all the shit. And then they it was printed, the poster was printed, and he said, no, shit, fuck, pricks, sperm, I don't care, but shit.
No shit.
No shit.
Shit was
above. It was a beautiful poster, but...
So what did you do instead?
Yeah, I have to make immediately another poster and make a picture of a boy who was very scared, sitting in a small room, big dots, so... sort of a press photo, because it has to be printed the next day. So there was the other end. Then I can't think, because you have many ideas, but it takes too much time, so I make this picture. And I like to show always this poster with the boy with the shit, because it is a nice poster. But I forgot the name of the boy. But that, and sometimes you have directors from other countries, they didn't like the way you work, because they are from France or they are from Germany or from the United States, and they come from a completely different culture, and when they are confronted with my ideas, they smile a little, but they didn't want it, and then you had a fight, and then most of the time they win, because they are the director.
Yeah.
They invite, and then they have a then somebody else makes the poster, because I. When he had not a better idea than I had, most in time the poster culture in that kind of course Germany is a culture, but they have a completely different idea about cultural posters, and France have of course, but it's always that painterly, you know, there's a little that, and I'm not a painter. So in the United States they have no poster culture, so yeah, they have small posters and always very. Very obvious, nice drawings, well, very well done, but not in my eyes they never hit the nail. It's just beautiful posters. Yeah, all the posters of Paul Davis, they're incredible, beautiful, but it is it didn't go very deep. It's just his way of doing it. It is his his painting is shown in the street. A beautiful poster of Che Guevara, you remember this poster? Yeah. It's a long time ago, of course. Fantastic, beautiful poster. Didn't say anything about Che Guevara. Didn't say anything about the play. It say something, oh, I can make a nice poster of Che Guevara. We like Che Guevara. Go to the theater. Che Guevara is in the theater. That's another... but what it's about this manipulation and the whole American Cuba situation. And this is what I do. Right. You know, I go into the play and say, well, this is what it's about, in my opinion.
And your favorite poster that you've made? You have one that you...
Well, there's one everybody knows.
No, but is it your favorite one?
No, I have no favorite poster. No, there's nothing that I say. This is my shining moment.
No.
It has to come, I think. My shining moment has to come.
You're still waiting for it.
Waiting for the shining moment.
Your most well-known typographic work is the Naked Ladies alphabet.
Yeah.
It seems like a one, because in the Encyclopedia of Dutch Type, it's like the only one thing that's really mentioned as being your work.
Yeah.
And what fascinates you the most in typography?
Well, what I said before, organization. And in the 70s and 80s, the variety of type, nothing special anymore, because you have now 10,000 types on your computer. In that time, you have to cut out American magazines to buy. This is a type I want, and then you have to draw six letters with it because you didn't have, and then you make a line for yourself. So the fantasy in type is very fascinating. Also, the energy people put into it to make a new typeface. There are so many typefaces. Why should you make it? No. That's what I like in it. That is the sense and nonsense of design. That's in type the most. What I like, and organization, and the possibility to make a landscape is type. It's not just a plain book, but when you are in a magazine's design, there is depthness, and that is what I like in type.
So, what was the occasion that you and that you made that the typeface with the women?
It was in Holland. In Holland, print farms are always very important. So there was a print farm called Steendrukkerij de Jong, Litho Print de Jong. And they make posters, but the director, or the son of the director, was Pieter Bratinga, and Pieter Bratinga is a very important graphic designer. He was teaching in the United States, and he was a designer always working on a grid. You know, he was in the Wim Crowell generation grid, but he goes over the grid, of course, all the good grid designers go over it, like Wim Crowell also did. And he made for the print farm, he had a little gallery, and he made exhibitions and publications. And he made the famous Quadraat magazine, so, you know, 25 by 25, and then he gave assignments to famous people in the world. And he made a series about type, because in that time, in the end of the 60s, letraset, that's how do you call it?
Yeah, letraset.
Type,
yeah.
You can
rub off
down, type,
yeah.
Came so, because there were all kinds of different possibilities to do that. Everything was very primitive in that time, you know. No, not the one designer had a photocopy machine. Everything was by tracing and drawing. And what I said, when he saw a nice type in an American magazine, and he would like to make a line out, cut all the letters and make a new line out of it, and he missed four or five letters, you draw them to complete the alphabet. And in your own fantasy, The bee should be like this, and the sea like, you know, that's what we did. And then the typeface comes up, the rub-off typeface. And Letra said, made a competition, that when you make a nice typeface, they print it for you 100, and they put them in the catalog, and then people can. So this is the end of the 60s. And Pieter Bladinga was also in the mood, so he asked the designers to make an alphabet, but not for Letra set, but use your own fantasy. And Wim Krauwel, here he is again. Wim Krauwel is, of course, one of the most important designers in the Netherlands. He made an alphabet, who is now in fashion also, the new alphabet,
yeah.
Where he said, he was thinking about the computer, but he didn't use the word computer. He called it the machine. There was no of course, there were computers in the Netherlands, but it was a landscape of big boxes, blue boxes.
With wires,
really a
coming
city,
in.
And then you could do anything with it, you know. So he called it machine and said, "We have to communicate with the machine." In that time, so I make an alphabet, horizontal, vertical. So the machine and we can communicate with each other. So we have to learn a new language. We have to write a new. We have to do everything new because the machine dictates us how to do it. So he made his new alphabet. And but I was aware of computers and all that. I like pen and ink and smoothie, you know, dirty fingers. Sticky fingers, and so I said to him, "Well, when you make something nobody can use, make something fun, Wim, and you can do it." So I said, "Okay, I do it." And then I took this, I make this alphabet because there is a long history of naked alphabets, yeah. in playing cards, but they are always
illustrations, no?
Yeah. No, yeah, or pick also sometimes pictures or airbrush. But mostly in time illustrations, and always with a sexual attitude. You know, the K is always a girl who stands right with a man who put his prick in his ass and he stands, you know, there's always this kind of thing. And I thought, I make this alphabet, but I use the Baskerville old face as an idea, the Baskerville old face, and then I make this alphabet out of it. Yeah, photography, and for there's a small print farm, but this was now the thing of Wim Krauwel is still. But me also in Belgium they have a festival and they use this typeface
I heard something went wrong with the production of the alphabet. Like you did two shootings. That's what somebody told me. That like the first time it went wrong, he had to reshoot the whole thing again.
Okay, I did it in the Rietveld Academie, mm-hmm. in the gymnastiek lokaal in mm-hmm.
The gym
local. Yeah. Because in that time there was a gym local, and so I did it as a photographer, and me and somebody on the ground, who a girl. I was married in the time, so my wife did put the girls together. Because I would like to do that, of course, all the same, but she did.
That's why your wife did it, probably.
You can do it, but I do it with the girls. So I was standing on a construction to look down, and on a certain moment she goes through her back, so she was not able to do it anymore. So I did it, and the photographer, there was nobody in between. And I have to walk up and down, but it was so some type was not exactly as I wanted. And then the director of the school find out that the school was full of naked girls.
Fantastic.
In an art school. Naked school! Naked girls in my school! Go out! So I was. They sent us away. And then we find out Then we get the studio of Max Koot, a photographer in The Hague, and he makes the portraits of the Queen. And yet the studio is a hole in the ceiling, so you can hang your camera under it, and you are because we were on in construction. So then I could make the letters who went wrong for the second time. Mm. And something very nice, because it was in spring, and it was very nice weather, and all the girls were white, you know. I said, this 2 weeks, nobody is allowed to go into the sun. For 25 euros. Yeah. Nobody is allowed to go into the sun.
To get a tan.
To get a tan. Mm-hmm. Because you can't, you can do it, but you have to airbrush everything away. It was black and white. It's very complicated work. And then mevrouw Coat, Mrs. Coat, I think a personal friend of the Queen, she was standing with us with all this. There were 30 naked girls, and she was saying, oh, the tent is so nice, they are so white, and they are so beautiful, and it's so nice weather today. And yesterday I was like them, but today I was, she was standing there in a nice deux pièces from well, famous fashion designer. And while they were speaking, she was doing something on her breast, and then at a certain moment she shows her tit.
No.
Yeah. She shows it. Said, this morning I was white like this, so the, but now I was in the sun, and now I'm already very red. So she stand there, 30 naked girls around me. She was standing there, chic as she is, with one tit in her hand, and we are, we had all red heads, like nobody didn't dare to look at her. She was more naked than all the girls together, you know.
You didn't photograph her.
No. I didn't make pictures in that time. So that was so nice. As a story, it's better than a picture. The picture you never will understand, but it's a story. You see her standing there, you know? Just coming back from the barber.
Your mic is going on.
A colleague of mine, Judith, suggested that maybe would you be interested to redo it, to redo the typeface with a woman from... to the use bold, the same women.
You mean the bold version?
The bold, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it, but many of the girls are dead. They coming from the, they are, have been in the drug scene, of course. It was in the beginning of the 70s, so everybody was, not everybody, but a lot of them. And some, so they are not all there anymore, and I don't know how to find them. Yeah. But I did the colored version, because I made also the pictures in color in that time, for you never know. And in that time was absolutely not possible to print it in color. It was so expensive. But now it's easy. And I cleaned up the whole alphabet, because it was dirty and the light. It was a big picture. We are not professional people, you know. We just play around. Even when the photographer was a professional fashion photographer, this was also something he never did before. So I cleaned up now the slides, and you can, on this computer you can make it more, because we did it before with a scissor and glue, and now we do it on the computer. And there in Ghent, I can show, when you stand up behind there, you see they did a word out of it already. And it is an architectural festival, but they use my typeface as a as the corporate identity.
Oh, the Manifesto, color part,
yeah. So this is in color now, you see. So I think I will print now the same publication in color with some stories with it, you know.
Like the story you just told.
Yeah, and there are more stories, and that's nice. Then it is, and I can show also the black and white version, and then it's a circle.
There's not much pubic hair to be seen, is there? Pubic hair.
There's not much pubic hair. No, that's not because we took it away, but
okay. There's not a specific because I just noticed it.
No. It's just the type of girl is not much hair. But there is, a dot and a comma. The dot is a boy and the comma is a girl. The dot, he had a rock and roll band now, the guy, and the girl is a mother of three children, and became also a photographer, and she's in the 40s already. So that's
Yeah.
You never, because you are always on your own, in your own life, you are always on one moment. You do everything from yourself and you are in that moment. But time is going on. I'm gray now. But you never grow older because you are...
Yeah.
You know, you never come out of your bed and say, oh, now I'm 10 years older today. I have to change my clothes. I do my hair. I eat some... Yeah, you're always the same person. But still, yeah, time is floating.
I have a question that sort of adds to that. If you look back, do you think your designs are there parallels between the designs you make and your personal life? For instance, like do you design wilder posters when you were younger, when you were living a wilder life?
Well, we don't know what he's doing. I mean, we don't know.
No, but it's really because there's always these parallels. Do you think that's possible?
Maybe the form you use, but not the ideas. The ideas are still in your mind, but when you grow a little bit older, you are more sharp or you are more controlled. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know the profession better. So when you are younger, you make pictures and you have to use them because they are not better than you made, and then you have to work with that. But when you're a little bit older, then you have more control about the material you use, and then you can, maybe it's not better, but then that's one of the reasons. And the other thing is that when you make things, you think not longer, but depends. For example, I'm not working for the theater anymore, because the reason for that is that all the directors of the theater are younger than me, and they think, yeah, well, I'm from the Stone Age now for them. So they will use me only as a curiosity. We go back in the time now. We need Anton Beek, but that time is and when you see the theater posters now, they in my eyes most of them are very boring. They in that time they are also boring, a lot of them, but they are very boring because there is no guts to make something in the street. I don't know why. That's the trend of the time, but
provocative.
Provocative. That is a very difficult word for me. I think the people who make theater now, not the actors because they play, but the direction of the theater. They are. They don't think in forms like that. Maybe they have not the slightest idea of the history of the poster, because in my generation people know also designers from before. But I don't know if they have ideas. Young theater directors. And it has to be hip. And what is hip? Well, you have to, it's difficult to read, or very, 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 very clean. Eh? For example, the next step after Wim Crowell, but then more clean. And but the plays are the same. They play the same plays. And sometimes also in the same way. When I go to the theater, well, we can play that also in that time, in this way. But in the street you can't see that. So I don't know why that is. Maybe they think it's old-fashioned. Maybe they think, yeah, I'm Toulouse-Lautrec. They did it before, but or they didn't get the point. I don't know why. But when I was now involved for a theater, I will do the same thing. But maybe sharper or more political. Maybe I would like to do more political things into it, because there is nobody doing it. Then I will. Take that space, you know.
Yeah.
And it's easy because nobody's doing it. So and it's so much things happen on this moment. What I can do is making small A4 posters hanging in the street, for example, because I have not the possibility to print these posters anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. There's a lot of discussions here, but no, I don't know.
But all over the world.
Yeah, there's so
and
many.
And in the United States, I was in the White House, and the same lady, I've been before in the White House, not in the White House, but in front of the White House, the same lady who's demonstrating there already for 40 years. She's sitting there. There's only one person in the United States who's against the White House. And she's not allowed to sleep, so she had a sort of construction. She stands for 30 years, I think. She stands there because she sleeps, but it's not allowed. And she sleeps, then she's camping, it's not allowed. All these policemen are there looking at her, and, you know, one person. And there is also a buddy is also doing the stem ceremony. In the evening he goes home, he wants to sleep. Nothing happened in the 70s. Everybody was on the street. Also phony, not everybody was behind the things they say. Of course, there's always movements. What I said, in the 60s, all these ladies, all these old ladies with the miniskirt. And now, you see now also, all the girls, they have very short pants, very jeans, very low, just hitting the what do you call
the
it?
Pubic hair.
The pubic hair. Then the belly is, and then they show the tits, and the very short. Now you see that and it's in a period, there's no children will be born. So I think nature is calling, my religion. I have a religion. Nature is calling all the girls saying, look at me, fuck me, I need you, I need you, because I need seed, I have to burn a child, let children born. They nearly naked. Now you see that the shirts are a little bit longer. The navel is not anymore an item, but still the pant is very low or short. And this is the line in the breast is very low. Not everybody, but most of the ladies shows their tits.
Sorry, yeah. I just hide
that. I like it. But it's true.
Everybody's
and I think that's
Lisa.
Nature. That people don't know that, but it is a sort of nature who said, you have to do this now. I want it that it happens now. Not God, but nature. Huh? That tree outside. Something like that. Otherwise, I have no explanation about for it. Why should do everybody things they don't like to do? But tomorrow, everything is like this. And then everything is like this. So it is not by purpose that you. Some people do, you know. In the 70s, we had this girl who was naked on the street, only a pant, and always showed her tits, beautiful tits, and was always like that, demonstrating that also the body of a woman is beautiful, and you don't have to shame about it. She's not doing it anymore, but in that time, there were more girls. So she was fur, and then there's another girl, and there were more girls.
Yeah.
And then it is over. So things are also in the fashion, but also in this case with body, it's the body length. I think there is also something mysterious behind why people are doing it. And I think this is when you look at in the newspaper and you see that the rate of born children goes down, then people have to show themselves. And also sexuality is very, even in the period of AIDS. On the radio last week, the news really said there are no holiday amour anymore. No holiday love. It's one night stands. Everybody is doing one night stands. So they go for 14 days to the Bahamas or to Marbella, and they fuck 14 different people. The girls fuck 14 different men and the boys.
The
so this. But when you show a pic, a poster of me to them, they didn't like it because there is an idea they don't understand. It goes too far. This is not just fucking. There's something more.
Yeah.
There is a secret behind somewhere. And what is it? Oh well then.
Are there any? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say thank you.
The same thing.
No.
Are there any important movements in graphic design at the moment? What do you think of graphic design at the moment?
On the moment. Well, there. In my opinion, there is no avant-garde on the moment, but there is. That's in in graphic design, in art, there is no. It's a silent period, and so you see good designers continue their ideas about the content. They're busy with the content, and they have a form, and some have a fake good form so they can play with it, and they're always surprising. Wow, nice poster, beautiful. A nice book, but continue the ideas. Then there is a generation of designers. So for me, the mech designers, they can play with the typefaces and the colors and all the systems. In my opinion, nothing real comes out. Of course, a few designers. David Carson, of course, he made this movement, but he's the only you can mention. There are of course a few others, but they are very close to what he did, and it's in design not picked up. It's still a curious way of graphic design. Many typeface designers were around and make stuff for him or for people who do the same thing. But the communication is very far away. It didn't communicate very much. People don't understand anything about it. While it is type, when it's an image, then you can imagine. You see a lady head and you say, oh, this is my mother. Or this is this.
Yeah.
But now they see type and they can't read it. It's complicated, so they are not so interested in it. Or it will be very bourgeois. They do the same thing, but it will be very bourgeois. And it was weak. Yeah? Carson is much better. So you see that that wave is over. But you see, no, I haven't seen new graphic design on the moment. So it is. A stand on the place, I think. Oh, even in art, you see that design, three-dimensional design, that enormous move upwards. There's a lot of things happen in that world. Very interesting, but not so in graphic design. So it's a stand on the. They show what they can do. The clients are maybe also not interested in. You have seen that this chewing gum design from David Carson has been welcomed with open arms in advertising, because mostly in time advertising have nothing to say. This is better to stick all the type over each other and say, well, we are very hip, or we have, give it an image. It's very, it gives an image. But in real graphic design, or the things that we know already for a long time. Also young designers doing it.
Yeah.
A person as Sachmeister, who is very in fashion, he is doing very traditional things, you could say, only he's doing it on a new way. But it's very traditional. His books are very readable, and you can understand what he's doing. Although he's one step further. He's doing the same thing I did, but I didn't cut people. But he's cutting people.
Cutting himself.
No. He's cutting himself. Yeah. But that's something that attracts your eye. What is this? How is he? How is that possible? Huh? Well, I think that's very important in our profession. But the design is not so interesting, and that has been now for 20 years, and people come back on it. I think. And then you see all the street posters, the club posters. Well, it's always. Low thinking, just announcing that there is three girls tonight in the club, and also a little bit everybody can do it. There's not a group of designers who get in that area and say, well, we made a new statement about it. It's always the club owner or the somebody around him who could make these posters. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
Easy way out. Didn't spend money on it. But for example, in the 60s, when Max Kisman and what is the other name, the English boy who was working for Paradiso, they made fantastic posters.
Martin Kay,
yeah. Fantastic posters, beautiful posters. But they have to say something. And these designers, they do the design, but they are not busy with the design. Maybe they are busy with dance or music or disc jockey or...
Well, it always seems that using the computer nowadays is more like you have to write a note, you have to write an announcement, and then doing the design all in one is like fairly easy.
Yeah.
That makes it also very accessible to people who are not like really aware of the history and of things you can do with the design.
No, this is what you see also. So it's not interesting at all. Sometimes one person had a chance to make something, but mostly in time it's very vulgar.
Okay.
Visual pollution.
You have one more question. Last question.
Yeah.
Last question.
Could you read the text of the 8 o'clock news when you died earlier that day? So what kind of announcement would there be on? I mean, for the design community, your stature is like
your obituary. No. He's trying to say.
Yeah. Obituary is the word I was looking. Like the 8 o'clock news comes on and you have died, and this is what they say.
It's not for designers, so it's for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I do it in Dutch? No. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are we lost an designer. No, I can do it only in Dutch.
Do it in Dutch.
Please.
Dames
en
heren. Vandaag overleed Anton Beken, die ons in de jaren 87 bestookte met beelden waar de katholieke kerk niet erg blij mee was. We hoeven dus niet meer te vrezen dat die beelden weer terugkomen. En ik feliciteer iedereen die op dat moment gewacht hebben. Zoiets.
Thank you for this conversation.
Thank you.
You're listening to Type Radio. Typeradio.org.
It was the weirdest ending ever, I thought.
What was?
To ask somebody his obituary.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's a nice question to, if you realize what you are, what you want to be remembered by, or what you think you're remembered by. I don't know. It just felt like something to I should ask.
Well, yeah, I would just say Greek. I don't know, maybe in a few years I would say something else.